Welcome back to Ravenous Chat. I am your host. Actually, I'm going to be your tour guide today also through the life of Nathaniel Bar Jonah, the cookbook killer, Joe. I am sitting here with Miranda. How is it going?
Hi, I'm good.
Yes.
I'm alive.
You are alive. All of us are alive because we are not little kids around the area Nathaniel Bar Jonah was around. Dakota, you're here. You started a little early and I didn't get to introduce you.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's fine.
You know, I got to do the whole table thing.
Yeah.
You start with me, and then Miranda.
But it went like you, and then Miranda, and then back to you.
I didn't introduce myself again.
I didn't do a two-time introduction.
But
if you guys have not noticed, we're actually all here in person today.
Yes.
Because Miranda can't drive.
Yeah.
Technically.
Yeah.
Yeah, she got into a wreck, but she's fine.
Yeah, I'm alive.
So, Dakota, you're here also.
Yes, I live here, so...
You do live here, yes. I feel like I don't, so it's all fine. Either way.
I'm at college, so I don't live here.
You're in college. Yeah, no, you do not live here
you
at all.
You kind of live here. When you come back, you kind of live here.
Yeah.
But today, guys, a very special episode. Are you done?
Yeah.
Nathaniel Bar Jonah. Because we are actually surpassed 20 listeners a week.
Yay!
Consistently.
I still think we're close to 30. My conspiracy theory that I was talking about the mythical creatures.
Well, that can be on the back burner because we already got another one for 30.
Why are you always coming up with them?
It's my podcast.
I mentioned this one back in the beginning.
It's my podcast. Because this is a fun one. I said this one was a fun one. This one was a gruesome one. I did not realize how gruesome it was. I just always wanted to research it, and this gave me the perfect opportunity to.
What do you think it's going
to
be?
Oh, the 31 we said 2 weeks ago. The famous...
You think I'm going to remember?
I know. You can't remember how to drive. They're the...
I do too!
If we get 30 consistent listeners every week, which we're already close.
Uh-huh.
It will be...
Aren't we already almost halfway there?
Oh, yeah, we're over halfway there. I think we're at like 27, 28.
Awesome.
It's going to be the famous death row meals.
Oh, yeah, I remember you talking about that.
These are so overdone.
The meals?
Yes.
They're fun.
I didn't know that was a thing.
It is.
I thought they just kind
of... Or you can meet one of the meals... One of the meals was a reason why there's a law saying that there's a price limit in this state.
Oh.
Yes, I forgot which one, but I know.
Could they pick people?
What do you mean they pick people? Yeah, they you say guilty, and you're in death row with the sentence.
Yeah, but if you're like in death row and you want a meal, and then they say, I want this specific person.
What, like a cannibal?
Yeah.
We're talking about suspected cannibal, but no, they not cook humans.
That's wondering.
Are you talking like eating out and that person, like if he wants to eat out his wife one last time?
Oh
my
god.
I don't know
god.
What you talk
oh,
about
why?
In this area.
Literally taking a fork, stabbing in the skin, and then shoving it in the mouth, and then going down the throat.
It's a little more to that, and we will get into that, because this dude was a suspected cannibal and murderer.
Yeah, so I was letting you guys know, this is not one for to play when your small children are around.
And none of these fucking are.
No.
Not really.
But, you know, you let your children listen to whatever they want, because my child's sitting right there. Hello.
Yeah, so if you hear a little cooing in the background, Gray is our little side host.
Yes.
He's more like our sound effects.
He is. So, before we really crack into this, I want to talk about some sources real quick. So, of course, I Wikipedia'd it, because that should be a reliable source.
It's not.
It very much is.
You can go in and change Wikipedia.
Yeah, with approval. They have to approve your changes. But trust me, because everything I searched on Wikipedia, I searched on another website, it was true on this one. I'm not saying it's the only source you should use, but it should definitely be a source.
You're hoping it's true, at least.
I researched this for 4 hours.
Okay.
Way over 4 hours, actually. Probably closer to 5.
Okay.
There's not really a good time frame. Another one is CriminalMindsFandom.com. Because they didn't really mention him, but they did something similar about the crimes that this man committed.
.com websites aren't...
They are reliable, guys.
It's literally a fandom website.
For Criminal Minds.
Yeah.
The TV show.
Yeah. Which is also fake.
Yes, but they do talk about real serial killers. Thank you.
So far, we have two unreliable sources. Next one.
Lots of other websites. I can't sit there and mention it. Newspaper articles.
At least when I did my searching, mine came from a magazine.
Hey, what was those sources? Where'd they get their sources from?
I'm guessing the people themselves.
Oh, yeah? They interviewed Jeffrey Dahmer even though he was dead?
Jeffrey Dahmer.
No, that's not Jeffrey Bezos. But still, and then YouTube videos. I watched probably about 4 or 5 of those.
Nice.
But yeah, yes, this is it's a very gruesome topic. I was kind of grossed out by some of this, but we're going to talk all about it. So, and then I even have all the victims, or supposed victims, and we'll talk about them at the end.
Did he text back?
Yes, and for those who don't know, we're also texting someone who's trying to flirt with Miranda. So
yeah.
That's fun.
Yeah.
In the middle of all this, but...
They like taking over my...
I take over everything.
Guys...
I take over everything.
Interesting?
So you're interested in him.
They're usually fuckboys, so...
Yeah.
I think...
So they judge them really hard.
I think we are doing a service.
We will do a service.
You want to be judged, go ahead and text
me. If you need us to knock a fuckboy down a couple levels, just let us know.
All right, but before we get into that, let's talk about the sponsor. Since their shoe line is ending this Saturday, which is tomorrow when we're recording this, today when it gets published.
Yep.
Great tease that Shoe Line Pandemic. You've already heard me talk about this for, like, what, a month?
Probably.
Yes. Like I said, they were limited editions. After Saturday, not getting them anymore. They are handmade in Italy. Free shipping to the United States, United Kingdom, and Europe. I almost lost my train of thought. And they are custom made by a friend of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I was about to say, they're pretty nice shoes. The website is www.aliveshoes.com/pandemic. And for one last time, that's PANDMIC.
Pops.
Yes, Pops created those shoes.
Yes.
We'll probably be doing, I don't know, we might do more deals with them, not these shoes, I don't know.
Pops hit on me too.
Yes. He's also like 8, well, like what, 60?
I don't know.
I never asked his age.
Or he just asked to make me dinner.
He does make a good dinner.
Yeah, I know.
But yeah, besides that, guys, I think we should probably get into this.
Okay. Do we need to do that?
Anchor is going to be popping up next. We're going to hear a quick message from Anchor because I wanted to get them done and out of the way as quickly as possible. So that way we can jump straight into the... Well, nope. Actually, we'll do... We'll figure it out.
Okay.
But no, we're going to jump straight into this because there's a lot didn't go over.
Yeah, you should see all the notes he has.
This is probably the most extensive research I've done besides the Titanic.
Well, you take it away, because Miranda and I don't know anything about it.
But no. Yeah, do you guys know anything? Well, we know he's a fat piece of shit.
He's peaceful.
Supposedly.
They usually do.
He's supposed to be eating people.
Supposedly, he's dead.
And he's dead.
He's dead.
He died in 2008.
He's a fat piece of shit, that's what we know. He is very fat. He's very much a piece of shit.
Sorry, I have hiccups that only come once every other so often.
So, let's get into them. Alright, so now we're going to get into this.
Ew.
Hey, get something to drink.
Those are gross.
It's Bud Light Platinum.
Platinum.
Honestly, that was a good one.
I don't like beer.
I know you don't.
Why is it platinum?
Because it tastes good.
But it's blue.
The platinum means that's good.
I'm guessing that's not what that means.
Extra, it's extra good. That's what platinum means. But we're getting off topic.
Tastes plain.
It does not taste plain. It's Bud Light. Plain. It's Bud Light.
Okay, we'll get back to the topic.
All right, so first we'll go over some quick facts.
Kind of tastes like water, but like just...
It's good, but we're getting to facts. We're over the beer.
All right.
So, Nathaniel Bar-Jonah was born February 15th, 1957.
Bubbly water, that's what it tastes like.
Static water? You like carbonated water?
I don't like carbonated water.
Okay, either way.
But it tastes like nothing.
Either way, back to where I was, Miranda.
Go ahead.
Nathaniel Bar-Jonah was born February 15th, 1957. He was an American convicted child molester, a suspected serial killer, and cannibal.
Wait, so they actually never proved he killed anybody?
Or ate anyone. But we will see evidence saying that he might have. Who was sentenced to a 130-year prison sentence without the possibility of parole in Montana after being convicted of kidnapping, aggravated assault, and sexual assault of various children.
Did he die in prison, though?
Yes.
Yeah, if he had a lifetime sentence.
Okay. 130 years.
No one's living to be 130.
Well, way past 130, because I think.
So no one's living that long. So yes, he died in prison.
It's my goal to live to 100, but the way my life's going, I'm going to make it.
You ain't going to make it to 25.
But his... So his name given to birth was David Paul Brown.
That just sounds like a white man.
And then his other name was Nathaniel Benjamin Levi Bar-Jonah.
That's a Christian white man.
Why does he have two names?
Yeah.
Because you'll find out as I go on. Okay. It explains it all. He was born in Worcestershire, Massachusetts, and died... Oh, what? He was born in Worcestershire, Massachusetts, April 15th. Why?
I thought you just said it was February 15th.
I know. Either way. You know what? We're skipping it.
He was born on the 15th of the month.
Yes, he was born February 15th, not April 15th. I don't know where that one came from. I looked it up. It is April.
Oh. April 15th?
No, there February 15th.
Okay. February 15th.
He was a short order cook and various other jobs. He had various other jobs.
His birthday was right after...
Valentine's Day.
Yes.
He better gotten good candy then.
Half-price candy.
True, the half-price candy.
That's when you buy your Valentine's Day gifts.
Little skin and a little bit of candy.
But yeah, he was shorter cook and various other jobs. Hispanic crimes was from 1964 to 1999 confirmed.
Oh gosh.
So he targeted children between 5 and 15 years old in most of his confirmed crimes. He drove a white car, dressed in navy blue coats, jackets, and caps, carried a toy gun, badges, so he could impersonate a police officer. After getting victims in his car, he would drive over to a secluded place, restrain them, and sometimes rape them. Afterwards, he would try to kill them by strangulation or otherwise suffocate them due to his own weight.
Oh, God.
You know what the key word was?
What?
A white car.
It is a white car.
Don't trust those white cars. Mm-hmm. I just bought a white car.
Yeah, and now you're going to become a serial killer.
We'll paint it.
You never know. Well, you guys said my senior year, I was going to kill somebody.
Oh, yeah. You might.
So, when do you guys think he started? Like, what age do you think?
Like, the murders or the crimes?
Like, we'll say where you'd say things start happening. Like, where do you guys think a serial killer actually starts getting born at?
Probably, like... 9 or 10.
I was thinking 8.
Starting at age 6.
Oh.
He would pick at his scabs until the skin that festered and then proceed to suck the blood from the wound.
Oh.
His mother was called multiple times from the school to tell her that this habit was upsetting both the children and teachers.
What is she gonna do?
Well, she could discipline the kid for not picking over scabs until they would fester over and bleed and he would suck the blood out of them.
But, like...
And stop creeping out children and teachers. I mean, that's a start, I'm just saying.
Is that, like... I don't know. Like, how you say, hey, yeah, people are scared of you. Stop being creepy.
Or, hey, stop picking scabs.
If you say so.
Well, isn't scab picking, like, a sign of OCD?
Not till they would fester.
Yeah, no.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know.
Because your skin is even. A little scab causes a bump.
What?
That's what I always figured, but we're jumping off topic. Mm-hmm. We're paying too much attention to the scab. One year later, in late July 1964, Bar-Jonah invited a 5-year-old neighbor girl to his basement, claiming that he had a Ouija board and that he could predict the future.
Nice.
Once inside, he attempted to strangle her until her screams alerted Bar-Jonah's mother, and she rescued her, but Bar-Jonah apparently got off with little to no punishment. So pretty much his mom's a piece of shit, too.
Damn.
Just as much a piece of shit as he is.
If that was my kid, I'd beat his ass.
Yeah, little no punishment.
Did he already go, like, to little kids' jail?
Only if his mom reported
him. Yeah, or the other mom.
Yeah, but she doesn't have any proof.
That's true.
Okay, then don't you at least, like, then I would say you can punish him.
I don't know, did they have juvenile detention back then?
Yes. Oh. It's 64.
I didn't know where it started.
Yeah, no, Miranda, 1764.
Well, I'm just saying, 1964, I wouldn't think they would have little children. I think they would just put them with the older.
I would imagine they would.
You Google it, and
I will continue. So, now we're going to jump at the age of 13. He lured another 6-year-old boy from the neighborhood to a hill outside, claiming that he wanted to go sledding with him. Once they got up to the secluded hill, Bar-Jonah raped him.
Oh, gosh.
At 6 years old?
13.
13?
Raped a 6-year-old boy. So pretty much he was doing it. He was doing this long before. That's why my theory always is that you can tell at a young age if the person's going to be a serial killer or not. You can pick up on the signs.
Do you think any of our family could be a serial killer?
No. When it was Juby.
1899.
So, yes.
Huh.
1899 is before 1964. I see your brain working the math.
I just want to make sure.
18 is before 19.
I just gotta get it through my head first.
Oh, my goodness.
I gotta picture it so it can connect with my other brain.
Other brain? How many brains do we have in there?
We got two pieces of brain. The right half and the left half.
Just let her go.
I'm just going to let you go because, you know, yeah, I'm letting you go on this. All right, so now we're going to jump again to his senior year of high school. Bar-Jonah impersonated as a police officer for the first time and abducted an 8-year-old Richard O'Connor while he was on his way to school, raping and strangling him inside the car. A neighbor observed the abduction and assault from a window, called the police. Officers rescued O'Connor when he was unconscious and almost dead. Bar-Jonah was arrested and sentenced to an unknown number of months in probation.
Just months in probation?
Unnumbered. I couldn't find the number. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I tried to look.
For literally sexual assault and
almost
attempted murder.
Yeah. It was the senior year of high school.
Cops fucked up there. They should have locked him up.
He was senior year of high school?
Yeah.
This is the third time.
So shouldn't he already be in jail by then?
Yep.
This is the third time that he's either tried to rape or did rape someone.
Well, didn't, like, the cops suck back then?
Yeah,
they still do.
He was a white man. White man get away with everything.
Now, as we go along, you kind of see that. They do give him a lot of chances.
Continue.
Yeah.
Just a few days before his graduation, as well as the conclusion of his sentence, Bar-Jonah drove to Hartford, Connecticut, and impersonated as a police officer again. This time, he abducted a 9-year-old girl and proceeded to rape her in his car, but threw her out soon afterwards when she started to convulse and vomit. A witness got the license plate of the car, and Bar-Jonah was arrested for the new incident. However, the report on this arrest never got back to the Browns probation officer, and he was released from probation in May 1976 with a letter thanking them for his cooperation.
What the heck? Can't fucking
talk.
Wait, how old was he then?
He's still a senior.
He's still a senior?
Yeah. Still a senior, a few days before graduation.
Goodness.
Y'all fucked up, police department.
Because he was released in May, so I'm going to say he was released right around his graduation time.
Do you think... So does that mean he graduated?
Yeah. He graduated high school.
Interesting.
So now... We'll jump again. About a year. On September 24th, 1977, Bar-Jonah impersonated as an FBI agent and abducted two boys coming out of the movie theater. He drove them to a secluded area where they were handcuffed. Bar-Jonah, who weighed at 375 pounds at the time, left one of the boys in the car's trunk while he took the other one away, simultaneously tried to strangle and suffocate him with his weight until he thought he had killed him. The boy actually pretended to be dead and was able to maintain the act even when Bar-Jonah started blowing cigarette ashes on his face. When Bar-Jonah left, the boy ran away and reported him to the police. Brown was arrested again, and the other boy was rescued. This time, Bar-Jonah was convicted of attempted murder and was sentenced between 18 and 22 years in prison. However, he was transferred to Bridgewater State Hospital, where he told psychologists that he repeatedly about having sexual fantasies involving murder, torture, discretion, and cannibalism.
Wouldn't he get charged with impersonating an officer, too?
You would think. But while he was still interned?
Wouldn't you go to, like, a psychologist?
Yeah, he did go to a mental hospital.
On March 22nd, 1984, he changed his legal name to his present one, alternatively claiming he wanted to honor his Jewish heritage or that he wanted to know what it was like being discriminated while being a discriminated Jew. Bar-Jonah was released from the hospital in July 1991.
That's fucked up.
Yeah. So what do you guys think of that so far? So he's...
So how long did he stay in jail?
He didn't go to jail. He went to a mental hospital.
Oh, how long... Why wouldn't he just stay in there then?
They let him go in 1991. So this was back in 1977. So probably 20 years. Because at this time, he was around a senior. Probably, a year older?
And then... He got into the mental hospital.
And then probably stayed there for about 20 years. And then that time he changed his name to Bar-Jonah.
Bar-Jonah? And that's one name?
That's his new name. That's the name that we're going to be using from now on.
Okay, is Bar-Jonah like a first name and a last name?
No, that's his last name. It's last Nathaniel name? Bar-Jonah.
Nathaniel Bar-Jonah. And he wants to be Jewish?
He is Jewish.
He is Jewish.
Jews don't want to be Jewish. You are Jewish.
I'm pretty sure the Jews don't want him.
Well, you know what? The Jews got him.
How did he get... Well, I mean, they sent him over to the one side of... all the way to what? Where was that happen? Where he could have been killed by the Germans?
Over to Germany?
Is that where it happened?
Years later? Yeah. You're all... Wait. No, continue your thought. Continue this thought. I want to hear where this is going.
When did the...
He wasn't born during World War II. Oh.
World War II ended like what, 1945?
Yeah, somewhere in there.
We're talking like... He was born in 1950s.
Yeah, like 56 or something, right?
57, I believe.
Sure, they still had a gas chamber somewhere in there.
So we already have an apology.
Yeah.
For a killer?
No, for gas chambers.
Yes. Everyone who died in the gas chamber, Miranda. I want you to apologize to them at the end of the episode.
They're already dead. I should probably just say sorry to the Jews.
Yeah. Yes, okay, that's what we'll do. But that's okay. Later on.
I'm okay saying sorry to the Jews, but yeah. We're German. We would kill the Jews.
Yeah, well, we're going on because this is a month later. He saw a 7-year-old boy sitting inside a car outside the post office in Oxford, Massachusetts, where he's from. Well, I think, yeah, he's in Massachusetts, from Massachusetts. Barjona entered the vehicle, sat over the boy, but fled after other civilians saw him. Barjona's description was recognized by one of the police officers who arrested him 15 years before, and he was arrested again. Barjona claimed that he entered the car to get out of the rain, and that he attempted to wait for the driver to return to ask him to take him home. As for the boy, he said that he did not know that the boy was there, so any possible injury was accidental. However, he later admitted that his intent was to kill the boy. For this, Barjona was given 2 years probation under the condition that he would move with his mother to Great Falls, Montana, and never to return again in Massachusetts.
Do we not see that this is a problem?
You know John Cena's from Massachusetts?
Yep, so is Nathaniel Barjona.
But, like, every time they let him out, he does something. Like, why are we not locking him up for life?
I have no idea, because this is, like, 1990... That's 1990s.
So
that was literally 30 years ago, guys.
So he was going to go kill him, but... Did the child, like, just...
He only got injuries. Because everyone saw Barjona enter the car. The people around. And then he left the car.
Wouldn't the car be locked?
Around the 90s, you didn't really lock the car.
Oh. Okay.
So with that, we're going to take a break.
Okay.
We're going to give Anchor their quick ad break. And then we're going to continue on in Great Falls. Because it goes for a little while longer.
I swear, because it's just one killing after another and after another.
And they obviously
He hasn't killed anyone yet. That's the sad part.
It's one,
just raping.
And he's admitted to attempting it, though.
Yeah. Well, he's attempted quite a few of them.
Okay, it's one.
So he just talks about being a serial killer.
No, but he's trying.
He is trying. Well, you'll see him evolve. That's why I like this one. You see where he starts taking steps to evolve.
Not in a good way.
It's not, but it's still evolving. But okay. Yeah, we're going to take this break. And we're back, and we're going to talk about, I call the second half of his life. And you guys will see why I call it the second half of his life.
He changed his name.
He changed his name, and he starts changing how he approaches victims, to how he does a lot of different things.
I like it! Well, just go back to, like, how... From when we was talking about how to be the inside of a serial killer's mind.
Yes.
Into this one, we'll see if they were correct.
It all comes full circle,
yes.
Guys.
It pretty much goes. You'll see where he starts changing everything. So in Great Falls, Barjona started collecting toys and memorabilia, mostly Star Wars related, and organized yard sales that drew massive crowds of children. His first brush with the law in Montana was in December 1993. So, we're like, what, 91 area? So, he went 2 years without another incident until 93.
Any reported incident?
Yes. Of course, it's all reported.
Mm-hmm. So, I'm still not born yet.
Yes. You will not be born through his whole span. He ends in 99.
So, Joe and I were
I'm
born.
So, I'm safe.
Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
All of us are safe. We don't live in Montana.
That is kind of true. But he could have.
And we were babies. He goes for younger kids.
Yeah.
Not babies.
So when he was... So in 93, he was accused of molestation by an 8-year-old boy who he was babysitting.
Who let the... Like, okay, he lives with his mother.
I'm not done with this one yet.
Oh.
Bart Jonah defended himself by stating that if he had known that in reality he would have killed the boy, the case was dropped after his lawyer claimed his right to a speedy trial has been violated. So now let's discuss that one, because I know you got questions.
Hold up. So he lives with his mom.
He does live with his mother at this point.
And his mom knows that he's been convicted of all this stuff.
Yes.
What made them think letting him watch a child was a good idea?
His mother is protective. No.
Okay, the thing is, what about the parents of the child? Wouldn't you do your research on the
He has a new name.
Well, here's the thing. There's also, there's no Google. You can't just type in search records. There's that. All you got is word of mouth at that point. We're thinking 93. Computers were just starting to get big.
Wouldn't you just try to at least get to know the person?
He might have been like Ted Bundy, where he was like a charismatic person.
Yeah.
Oh.
Well, yeah, I think he was collecting in Star Wars toys and organizing yard sales, so you'd see him around kids without incident.
So they probably just thought he was like a nerd or something.
So yeah, they just thought he was just a nerd, a nice guy, something like that.
Wouldn't
turn into this.
Still try to see if he is a good person though.
Well, I mean,
he went 2 years. So
he did go 2 years.
He lived around 2 years without an incident.
And at that point, you didn't have to really claim that you're a sex offender or anything.
Yeah. So after
because
2 years,
you're in a new state, and that was part of the probation.
Yeah. After 2 years,
because I think
have a story.
Well, he never would have registered as a sex offender because you can't leave states if you are a registered sex offender.
Yeah, but part of his probation means that he left the state.
Yeah, he had to leave.
Yeah. They were probably hoping that his mom can sit there and settle him back out, but she didn't.
Right.
As we saw. And as we will continue to see.
I feel like if you're a mother of a serial killer, you don't really do much. You're either scared of your child or you're just like, no, my child didn't do that.
Alright, so you guys ready?
Yep.
So we got another 3 years. And on February 10th, 1996, 10-year-old Zach Ramsey disappeared on his way to school. Witnesses saw an off-white vehicle almost running Ramsey over and later recounted that he was crying and appeared to be followed by an obese man around the time he disappeared. Detective Bill Bellisi? If I butcher your name, I'm sorry. Who investigated the December 1993 case was assigned to investigate Ramsey's disappearance.
I feel like I saw a video about this. Because wasn't he delivering papers or something that morning? He was a paper boy?
We'll continue. Though he was provided with a list of registered sex offenders living in the area by the FBI, Bellisi discarded it and centered his suspicion around Bar Jonah, who wasn't registered. After an unsuccessful police attempt to enter the home shared by Bar Jonah and his mother, Bellisi solicited a search warrant of the property, but he was turned down. He later found that Bar Jonah had access to his mother's off-white Toyota Corolla, that he had the day off, and that he was seen standing in an alley just before Ramsey entered it. Bar Jonah was also wearing a dark blue jacket that day, similar to that of a police officer's. He was in proximity of Ramsey and had mentioned Ramsey's name to an acquaintance a few days before his disappearance. Bellisi unsuccessfully solicited a new search warrant sometime later. Bar Jonah moved out of his mother's house. So they never confirmed that he got Ramsey or not, because no search warrants.
Dang. But it's like, you know the history of this guy. Why would you not okay a search warrant?
I mean, that was 6 years ago at this point.
Well,
yeah. Because he's
not. I was about to say, that's 3 years. The first
he's not labeled as a sex offender. Because
yeah,
I think with sex offenders, you don't need a search warrant.
Yeah, but he wasn't registered.
See, cops fucked up.
I was about to say, because you got to think that was over 6 years.
They
moved to Montana, Massachusetts? Massachusetts.
So the question is, they couldn't really do anything? After he moved.
Yeah, so after he moved, there was nothing else
yeah.
they could have done, because all the evidence probably went too, or it got destroyed.
Could have buried him also.
Well, we'll find out what he might have done. Now, we're on December 13th, 1999. So there's big gaps in here. Bart Jonah was seen outside an elementary school for the third time in a few days. He was wearing a dark blue jacket, a knit cap, and was carrying two cans of pepper spray, a toy gun, and a badge. Despite the doubts of their colleagues, Belusi and the attorney general charged Bart Jonah with impersonating an officer and carrying a concealed weapon. The judge approved the search warrant for impersonation objects in both Bart Jonah's mother's house and his new address. Police found two codes, one dark blue and another one with a toy badge in the pocket, a second toy badge, a stun gun, a baseball cap, reading security enforcement. During the search, they also found a pulley on the ceiling of Bart Jonah's kitchen, two albums with cutouts of children, and two documents about bondage and autoerotic asphyxiation.
Oh my god,
I can't say that word. Autoerotic asphyxiation. Can you say that? All the other autoerotic asphyxiation.
Autoerotic asphyxiation.
Asphyxiation. I cannot say that word.
Asphyxiation.
So that means he likes to hang himself or choke himself until he... That's how he gets turned on. That's his turn on.
Are you serious?
And there was a pulley in the kitchen. If you don't know, it's like the thing with the big wheel that you'd use. Kind of like with a rope to drag up.
I don't know what that is.
A pulley?
Yeah.
So it's like a... I don't have to explain it, kind of.
Would
so,
it be like a hook?
No. It's a gigantic wheel.
Okay.
Held up by two brackets and a U okay. with a thing on top. You send your rope through it, and then you'll tie like hay barrels or something like that onto it, and then you'd pull up the hay barrel like that, like into a barn. You guys have probably seen them around.
I can imagine it.
Okay, yeah, I
can
think.
You
guys probably seen them
I
around.
Think?
They're almost, they're in a lot of places. Pulley systems are used a lot.
Okay.
So, like, a big wheel type of thing with the rope that can go, like...
That goes, like, in the wheel, in the holder, and you would use it to pull things.
Sure.
While you're pulling, the wheel is spinning, so the...
Do you
want to
look it up so you can...
No, I'm good.
So, yeah. So, they found all that stuff. I guess more morbid than that. I just wanted a drink break.
Wait, so is that where, like, the children eating part comes in? Because you said cookbook. He's a cookbook killer.
Yes. Well, he had two albums with cutouts of children. So, like, pictures.
Is that, like, the kids who went missing?
Just different children.
Oh.
I couldn't really find too much out about that one.
That still doesn't mean he's, like, a cookbook killer.
Not yet. Can I read this?
So, is this the beginning of 1999?
No, this is near the end, December 13th.
I thought you said he ends at 1999.
He does. Can I finish this, Miranda?
It's going to be a quick one, then.
So, 2 days later, Belusi was granted a second search warrant for any documents and photographic material. Besides the albums, they also found several lists of boy names, later identified as boys from Bart Jonah's youth in Massachusetts, including three that he molested. One also... had a new entry for Zachary Ramsey next to the word died. 3,500 photographs of children, multiple news clippings about Ramsey's disappearance, an undeveloped film containing sexual images of Bart Jonah, and three unidentified boys were also recovered. In addition, police discovered a book written in code, which was cracked and revealed to be a cookbook with recipes such as Little Boy Pot Pie, French Fried Kid, and Little Boy Stew.
Oh, gosh.
Finally, police found a large stained section of plywood in Bart Jonah's garage, which was scrubbed with bleach and also struck several times with a meat cleaver, as if it was being used as a cutting board. the Moleol test, in which the same room revealed the word Tita, T-I-T-A, had once been written on the floor. This was tentatively linked to James Tita, a 15-year-old boy who was found raped and strangled in Range, New Hampshire in 1973.
Oh, gosh.
That's where the name Cookbook Killer comes from.
That's so they don't know if they ate the little children. They just assume.
They assume. He has a recipe book, Miranda.
Yeah, but that could just...
Written in code.
Only he knows it then.
It was cracked.
So they probably hired people who are good at, like, codes and
decoding.
Stuff to see if they could break it.
And they did. And they found out those... at least three recipes. He's kind of clever with the names.
No, he's not.
Little boy pot pie or no. Little kid pot pie.
No.
What was it? Little boy stew.
No.
Little boy
pizza. No. Yeah.
Little boy pizza.
No. No.
Could crack that one. So.
No.
We're not done yet either. Further inquiries seem to confirm the officer's fear that Barjona has killed and cooked Ramsey and possibly other children. It was learned that in the days after Ramsey's disappearance, Barjona held cookouts for his neighbors, in which he served quote-unquote deer burgers that tasted strange. One saying that he had hunted, killed, and butchered and rat meat personally. However, Barjona did not own a gun or a hunting license. And credit card records suggest that he stopped buying food for a month after Ramsey's disappearance. A former roommate of Barjona had seen a pair of bloody gloves and soiled boy's clothing matching Ramsey's at Barjona's apartment. Barjona had also surprised people several times by bringing up Ramsey, including one time when he said that Ramsey would never be found because he has been chopped up and the parts scattered in different places. Finally, hair that resembled humans was found inside Barjona's meat grinder, and an excavation of former residents uncovered 21 bone fragments belonging to a boy between 8 and 13 years old. The house's pipes could not be examined because the neighbors who moved afterwards had changed them due to them constantly being clogged.
Ew.
So the belief is that he chopped the boy up, grinded him, and he fed him to neighbors.
That's fucked up.
Essentially.
So do you think he started when he started killing those, or did he just start when he...
I believe he... To have a cookbook, this is the thing. Because... I don't know about you, but having a cookbook over different recipes, that means you have to have quite a few different recipes. And there's not no surefire way how to, you know, cook a human, like how to cook a hamburger. You can't just Google it. You have to sit there and try different things. I think it was Jeffrey Dahmer, if I remember right, who sat there and said that he had to try so many different recipes until he found the one that he liked. Because human skin is much different to cook than anything else.
I would have to assume so.
So...
I thought Jeffrey Dahmer dealt more with,
he was
chemicals.
He did do chemicals, too.
Wow.
But, yeah, no, he was... He was a cannibal.
How long do you think it took him to make those?
Oh, probably years.
Years. So do you think he still did it while he was at his mom's house?
Yeah, well, they had instances of stuff like that happening, like, you know, of the raping. He probably gave it a break.
Do you think he raped them before or after killing them?
Probably both. There's no proof that he was a necrophiliac, but there was definitely proof that he was that they were raped while they were alive. So, yeah, it gets crazy.
So that means he was never loved.
Well, his mother loved him. Or she would have turned him in.
He never had a lover.
No, he never had a person of his own.
Because he liked children. That's just gross.
All right, you guys ready for the last bit of this?
Sure.
Yep.
DNA from the hair and bones belonged to two different African-American males, neither of whom was Ramsey. Ramsey's mother later refused to believe that her son was dead or that Barjona was in any way related to the disappearance. A psychic convinced her that Ramsey was living in Italy. She threatened to defend Barjona if he was brought to trial for her son's murder. Eventually, charges related to Ramsey's disappearance were dropped, and the police focused on other possible victims.
What the heck?
That's why I don't like psychics.
Yeah.
So it was dropped, and the only
because they didn't have the mother's witness testimony, because she said she was going to defend Barjona. If the mother of the victim is going to defend the person who killed her son, that kind of dropped your whole case right there.
Oh.
Does it not?
As a mom, though, I can't see how anybody would do that.
Well, here's the thing. She wanted to believe her son was alive right. So much that she's willing to defend this person because she didn't think that this person killed her son.
Right.
Okay.
Because that's the only thing they could get on him. But you found clothes and bloody gloves and soiled clothes.
Yeah.
Matching the kid. He talked about the kid.
I thought you said that it was the...
It was bloody gloves and soiled clothes.
No, I thought you said the roommate seen it.
I know, but still, you have someone who said they seen this. He talked about Ramsey.
And then you have bone fragments that match his age.
And also, he didn't buy food for a month at the grocery store. He said he hunted deer, but he doesn't have a hunting license or a gun.
I mean,
unless he's doing a rocket slingshot. Or else you can try to run after a deer and shoot him, but he's over 300 pounds.
So all he would have to do is jump on the thing.
If he can jump on a deer, I will pay you $10,000. Because I'm going to say he's out of shape.
Oh, yeah, that's true. He's fat.
He's a fat piece of shit. That's what he is.
Yep.
Okay.
So, well, we'll continue. Two names and the list belonged to two boys who lived in the same apartment building as Barjona and who were in his photographic film. One of the boys confirmed that Barjona invited them to a sleepover and then molested them. But the other boy visited Barjona in jail and wrote to him saying that he was his friend and that he never harmed him. Nevertheless, he is charged with sexual assault, aggravated kidnapping, and assault with a deadly weapon in relation to practicing erotic asphyxiation with one of the boys in the kitchen's pulley. He was convicted and sentenced in 2002 to 130 years in prison without the possibility of parole. And on April 13th, 2008, Barjona was found dead in a cell from a heart attack related to his obesity. 3 years later, Ramsey's father had him declared dead, legally dead over the opposition of his mother.
Dang.
There it is, guys. We're going to go over victims here in a minute, but what do you guys think so far?
He was only in the hospital for 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5.
He was only in jail for a number of years. Yeah, 7 years before he died.
Guessing he didn't have a bad life then.
I mean, technically, he got many
different
rings?
The cops would have got him the first time.
Didn't have to go through all that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's stories about that all the time, though.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
The cops were in Jeffrey Dahmer's apartment while there was a dead body in his room, in his bedroom.
But they couldn't search?
They didn't search him.
Because no one?
Yep. Well, no, they were inside the house. I forgot what they were doing, and we might cover that someday. Maybe.
And so they didn't have a warrant?
Nope.
Well, some warrants let you in the house, but they don't let you go through things. So only things that you can see is what you can use.
Yeah. I mean,
so you wouldn't be able to go through, doors?
Doors, no.
Nope.
Oh. So when a cop comes over, make sure I close all the doors.
Kind of. But another thing is that, John Wayne Gacy actually killed the boys while his wife was home.
so.
And buried them underneath his house.
Hmm. Well, that one's a little bit of smart. Yeah, I mean, you can't really find them. And, like, hopefully the smell doesn't go.
Well, they did find them. And the smell does go through the house because that body smell is very strong.
Okay. So, and how do you get through a funeral without them smelling?
They embalm them. Yeah,
they give them chemicals and stuff like that to help through that.
Okay. If you're just a serial killer, you don't have access to that stuff.
Okay, well, so what if you become a doctor and then you become a serial killer? So hopefully you have, like, a way to...
Well, still you'll be called. Pretty much I'll become a serial killer. How about that? Can we just keep it there?
I guess so. That's the easy way out.
But yeah, like... I think it was
I promise I'm not a serial killer.
I forgot which serial killer. I think it might have been Ted Bundy.
What?
There was a victim inside of his car, a dead body, when the police pulled him over. If they would have did a little bit of searching in this car, they would have found a dead body.
Interesting.
You guys ready for this list?
Yep.
Of what?
Of all the victims.
Oh, sure.
Don't insult any of them, Miranda.
No.
They're dead.
This is the one where we are serious. No jokes.
Okay.
This part.
Can I count?
Sure.
Or do you know how many?
Go. I don't know how many. You can count.
Okay, then I'm counting.
All right, so 1964, an unarmed 5-year-old girl strangled, survived. 1970, an unarmed 6-year-old boy, raped only. Unspecified date, 2 unnamed boys intended, both escaped. August 23rd to 25th, 1973, Branch, New Hampshire, James Tita, 15, possibly raped and strangled. Unspecified date and location in 1973, 1974, Janice Pickett, 7, possibly disappeared, was never found. Unspecified date and location in 1974, Mary Patrone, 10, abducted and raped, was released. March 1975, Massachusetts, Richard O'Connor, 8, abducted, raped, non-fatality, strangled, was rescued. Hartford, Connecticut, an unnamed 9-year-old girl, abducted and raped, was released. September 24th, 1977, Shrewsbury, Massachusetts, yeah. Both abducted, burned with a cigarette, and non-fatality, strangled.
Burned with a cigarette so he smelled?
Yes. Well, he flicked the ashes in the one boy's face when he was playing dead. Don't you remember? I know we talked about like a good hour and a half ago, and I know your memory's not good, but...
Let's just go with my memory's not good and I got in a car accident, so now it's probably even worse.
Yes. An unnamed boy left for dead after sitting on top of him. He escaped. Another unnamed boy was rescued. August 9th, 1991, Oxford, Massachusetts, an unnamed 7-year-old boy attempted to kill by sitting on top of him. Great Falls, Montana, 1993, an unnamed 8-year-old boy molested only. February 6, 1996, Zachary Exeries, I can't say it, or Zach Ramsey, 10, possibly disappeared, was declared legally dead in 2011. Unspecified dates in 1999, the apartment sexual assaults, all molested. One was partially hanged from the kitchen pulley. His unnamed 14-year-old neighbor, the unnamed neighbor's cousin, a third unnamed boy, and there's a little side note, Bar-Jonah is also believed that he committed murder, well, also believed to have committed murders in Montana because of the findings made in his residence. He was also investigated for possible crimes in Alberta in, I'm going to mess this one up, Saskatchewan, Canada, where he lived at times during the 1990s, but the police found no links between him and any unsolved crimes. While Bar-Jonah was never directly mentioned... Oh, never mind. That's continuing on from my next point. Okay. So what are we at, Miranda?
So we're over at 20... Over 23, because I only included the 3 because you said unknown for the states. So the yes. three after 20 is the states.
So about 23.
Yeah.
People that he affected in some which way.
But here's the thing. So there's a good handful of those kids who lived.
Quite a few.
So how
yes.
did this man not get life in prison before then?
Justice system shining down on one person.
Oh, gosh.
I can't believe that, though. I mean, I've learned a lot today. Like, I didn't know I didn't know the whole entire story for the 11 soldiers. And, like, they were left behind because of Biden.
Okay.
So, like, that would be Biden's fault.
Yes, but we're not talking about the soldiers in Afghanistan.
But that just means the whole entire system's been broken since...
Oh, it's been broken for a long time.
Yeah. So, like, I believe it.
But, yeah. So, guys, I got a little side note from about the Criminal Minds episodes. If people want to check them out.
What is your side note?
So while Bar-Jonah was never directly mentioned or referred on Criminal Minds, he appears to have been inspiration for the following ones. Season 3, Floyd Finlan Farrell, Lucky and Lucky Strikes. And Season 13, Marcus Manning, Lucky Strikes. If you guys want to check those.
They're both called Lucky Strikes?
Well, the first one's called Lucky. I just watched that one last night. And it's one of my favorite episodes. I'm going to be honest with you guys.
Really?
Yeah. Well, it has, like, Derek Morgan questioning his faith and stuff like that.
Oh.
And another one, Lucky Strikes. I can't remember that episode offhand, but I wanted to watch that one again.
Is that the one where the guy cooks the one girl into the chili?
That's Lucky.
Oh, okay.
I don't think I've seen those.
You should watch Lucky. It's actually a really good... I like it.
I just watch Criminal Minds to read.
See,
I think he's cute.
Yeah, I watch it because I am actually interested into this kind of stuff.
See, I like watching it, but I've never been able to watch it, like, all in order. I've only been able to watch it, like, on TV.
It's on Netflix and
I know it's
Hulu.
On Netflix, but, like, then everything changes. And, like,
what do you mean everything changes? I want to know.
Because, like, on TV, I already know it's, like, it's the beginning or it's the end or it's, like, in the middle. And just, like, it's one after another and after another that's just all different. But when, like, it's all in one, it's, like, hard to chop up.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
I think she means it's hard to sit down and watch, like, binge watch them.
Oh. Yeah.
I think that's what she's meaning to say. She just can't say those words for some odd reason. So, guys... Nathaniel Bar-Jonah, the cookbook killer, I think is one of the most non-talked about gruesome serial killers.
You probably shouldn't talk about him. He's a horrible person.
I mean, he ate people.
Yeah, but, you know, everyone talks about Ted Bundy, John Wick, you know, all the ones in the 70s, stuff like that. This happened, like, his spree ended when we were born. Mm-hmm. Like, a few years after we were born. Not Miranda.
Yeah, I still wasn't thought of yet.
Yeah, you're like, what, 2001, 2002?
Yeah, I'm 2001, so I was, like, -2.
But, yeah, like, he's very recent. He just died 2008.
Means so. I could have met him.
Yeah, if you went to prison.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Montana.
I mean, I always think, like, if you go to jail and they want to kill you, all they have to do is, like, move you to a different state.
So
to Texas, because I think Texas, you're allowed, they still have the death chair.
The
Ohio does too.
Yeah, it's the death penalty, not the death chair.
Oh.
Well, Ohio has one of the I think we do have the oldest electric
chair. Yes,
it's in Columbus and it's called Old Sparky.
Yeah. But
called Old Sparky?
Yep.
Do they even use that anymore? Or?
I don't know.
I don't think they do because it's all the injection now.
Yeah, it's all the injection.
Because then, whose name? Can't think of it. It was not that long ago.
Is the
someone died
peace,
in Florida because of that.
More peaceful, do you think?
It's supposed to be.
What, the injection?
Yes.
I think you have a choice, though. You can either choose the injection or a firing squad.
I choose firing squad. Who would choose the injection?
Right?
Just shoot me.
How I think of it, how do people, like, literally sit there and watch them?
Well, a lot of it's, like, victims' families and stuff like that.
I don't think I could watch somebody die.
Some people do. They want to make sure he's dead.
I just still don't think I would be able to.
There was a whole, what was it? It was almost like Woodstock for Ted Bundy's.
Yeah.
There was a whole celebration.
Really?
Yeah. I watched that in the documentary on Netflix.
And it's a great documentary. He got electrocuted, didn't he?
Yes. It's a great documentary. It's like, what, a 5-part documentary, something like that?
Which one? The Zac Efron one or the tapes?
The tapes.
There's a Zac.
Well, yeah, he plays Ted Bundy in it.
That one's good, too, but I like the documentary a little bit more because it...
Yeah, the one with Zac Efron more goes into, like, his personal relationship.
But the one about the actual Ted Bundy confessions?
Yeah.
That one actually goes over what he did and how he managed to get out and stuff like that. So, yeah, this was a very special episode on... It's not very special. It was the special episode on Nathaniel Bar-Jonah.
Yep.
Next week, we'll be back to normal. Talking stuff. What? Don't know.
Yeah, but I won't be here.
Yes, you will be away. But you might be here next time for the very... Well, for the next special episode.
I might.
Famous meals for people on death row.
When... Yeah, maybe.
I say that one... I think that one's going to be a lot more fun. This one was really dark.
I don't know.
I don't think they're meant to be fun.
No, they're not, but it's educational.
I don't know. Do you guys like our fun ones more, or do you like our educational ones more?
I don't know. I feel like the more educational ones, Joey just talk.
Yeah.
The fun ones, we all talk.
Yeah.
I try to bring you guys in this more. Well, you got to think, this is the first, second one.
And Joe just has an obsession with serial killers, so...
I do.
Yeah. But, like, honestly, as long as our family's not a serial killer, it's good.
Unless I do have a little obsession to learn about them, but so is a lot of people. Because I think these ones get a lot more listens.
Interesting, but I feel like I more want to know about their minds than anything.
Yeah. Well, looking at their cases, stuff like that, you can kind of see inside their minds.
Yeah. How they...
How they think, how they act, what they do.
Mm-hmm.
Cause that's it. I think that we're about it.
Yeah.
Miranda, where can they find you?
They can find me on Instagram, merpanda1001.
How long have we been doing this?
And I'm still unsure. You're every so single
time. It's like, what was that handle again?
Cause that's the only one I give them. I don't want to give them anything else. But, like, no, if they find that, they can find everything else.
I was about to say, like, how long have we done this? Or they sit there and you still got to think about where...
Where it is that? Well, you know, it's all right.
Dakota, where can they find this? Find you?
I don't know. I'm not active on anything.
Where they can find us on Facebook?
Randomness Chat Podcast.
Group page.
Yeah, we have a group page.
That's when we update a lot more.
Yeah.
Well, let's face it, Joey updates a lot more.
Yeah.
Yes.
Some of us have other things to do.
So do I. I find time.
Yeah.
I have school.
I barely have work. Find time to sleep.
Oh, I don't sleep.
Oh, I do a lot. I took a nap today.
I didn't.
I wish.
I went car shopping, and then I got tired just from car shopping, so I had to take my nap.
I woke up at 5 in the morning and started studying for my test today in class.
I got on my test yesterday from the car crash. Yeah. I was like, well, that doesn't happen very often. No. But I've gotten out a lot of test taking because of unfortunate reasons.
But yeah, I think that's about it, guys. You guys, of course, can check us back in next week. We'll be talking about something.
Yeah. So do you know what it is? We've said it.
No, we didn't.
Wait, does Miranda need to apologize?
Yeah, Miranda does need to apologize. Miranda does apologize. Thank you for reminding me.
I'm sorry for the Jews.
Yes.
I couldn't kill you sooner.
What did you just say?
I'm just kidding.
Then you gotta apologize again.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, right, you gotta apologize again.
Yes.
Sorry.
But no, I don't think I have the next set of notes out ready to go.
No, but you already said, like, what it was the next one supposed to be.
I did?
Yes, you did, and the other one. Remember you had, like, boom, boom, boom.
Do you remember what it was?
No.
We're going to have to listen to it.
Yeah, well, let's still figure it out. But yeah, no, I could not remember that at all.
I at least remember you had a list of what was going to be going on. And this one was it. And then you're like...
Oh, wait. I think next week's is the spelling bee.
Yes.
Yeah, I think there's a spelling bee next week. So you guys can check out that. That's what it was. It was the spelling bee. Jeez, I got to write this stuff down.
I think I should read the words and have you and Miranda spell it.
I'll give you the words to read.
Yeah. But you can't know how to spell it.
Well, I'm going to give you the list.
Okay. We'll do that next week, guys.
How about this? Got it.
This is not going to be okay for me.
We'll figure it out.
Okay.
But until next week.
All right.
We are out of here.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Also, give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. Thank you.